Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my beautiful friend, I'm Emmanuel Dagger, and welcome to The Miracle Cafe. Today's show is all about you. I'll be answering the questions most present on your mind a little bit later, but right now let's set the intention for the show. So the intention for today is for all of us to be open and receptive to even more amazing miracles in all areas of our lives. So if you'd like to set that intention with me, just affirm out loud, and so it is. Good, and so it is. All right, so let's get right into today's energy update. So as you know, I usually write energy forecasts once a month, and now this is kind of a similar thing, and it's just more current and present. And what I am still noticing happening right now, and that will continue going on for a while, is the pouring in of the divine feminine. I wrote about it in my energy forecast for those of you who check that out. It's all about the divine feminine right now and the balance coming in, because for so many years, thousands, maybe even more of many years, we've kind of projected into our reality a very lower aspect of masculine energy. So all the control, the domination, the suffering, the pain, all of that stuff, that's more about the lower aspect of the male energy. And the lower aspect of the female energy, because this society was so ruled by the masculine energy for so long, became about being one of the role of the lower aspect of the female, what we projected onto it. Of course, there's been many, like Joan of Arc and things, that have come and really defied that. But it's about being, it was perceived to be about being secondary to the masculine, very, having to serve the masculine, having to be quiet, not be able to fully express herself in full. Now, that's been changing for the past quite a few decades, but now it's just in full force. The divine feminine is waking up within all of us. We've invited that in again. We've reawakened that divine feminine to show up in our physical experience, because we are no longer tolerating the ability to live in a society that's having us be ruled and controlled by the lower aspect of the male energy, and also put that projection of the lower aspect of the feminine energy. The truth is, the highest aspect of the divine feminine is all about beauty, love, nurture, care, manifesting, bringing from the invisible to the visible. So without the divine feminine, we have nothing. So the divine feminine is where we all come from. Now, the divine masculine is about the intention, the thought, and taking action. But with what good is any of that if we can't experience it in physical form? So the divine feminine is, from my perspective, just more so. Of course, the divine masculine is very important. However, the divine feminine is extremely important. And I feel that the world is starting to realize that now, and we are moving into a more divine feminine geared society. And what's happening is those masculine energies, and when I say masculine, I don't just mean men. There are some women who embody more so the masculine energy because they forgot who they really were, and they, maybe they're working in the government or corporate or whatever, and they've kind of established an identity that they have to be exactly how, like, the lower masculine energy has to be in order to compete or whatever. So when I'm saying masculine, it doesn't just mean male. It could mean female, and vice versa. When I say feminine energy, it could be men who are very, very in touch with their caring and loving and sensitive and, you know, beauty, creativity, all that stuff. So what is happening right now is that all those embodying the lower aspect of the masculine energy are no longer able to continue the same way that they were before. So the new, especially the new divine male energy, the new divine masculine energy, has equal parts of the divine feminine and the divine male energy. So there's going to be a combination. So the new prototype for the male energy is one that is very in touch with their feminine side. And any of that ego, you know, competing, being very macho, chauvinistic, all of those things are no longer surviving. We're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it in our personal lives. We're also seeing it in the global stage. So the best thing to do right now is to really anchor ourselves in love, because the divine feminine is all about nurturing, caring, loving. And because that energy is coming in so strong at this time, and if we feel really uncomfortable, if we feel like we're having a lot of hard times right now, letting go, moving on, it's because we're letting go of the lower aspect of the male energy and also the lower aspect of the female energy, what we've projected it to be. So the best thing to do right now is to anchor ourselves in love, self-care, self-nurture, and really step up and speak our truth, be our true authentic self, and being able to do it in a way that is kind, caring, and loving with ourselves and with the world. So right now there's a huge movement happening on the planet that is allowing the divine feminine to pour in, to reawaken, to activate all of us, reminding every cell of our being of its perfection. And that's what we're doing right now. And you'll notice a lot of people, especially men, are feeling a pull and a call to serve the divine feminine and honor her and be catering and pampering to her. So, you know, if you are someone who embodies a lot of feminine energy, that's what you are doing right now. You are healing the lower aspect of the male energy, and by just showing up, by just being you. And for those who are healers, who are consciously doing work in that area, you'll notice a lot of men will start coming to you because they need healing right now more than ever. So thank you, ladies. I just want to, and then men who embody the feminine energy, I want to thank you for holding that space, because it has been a rough ride, and we are here now, and we are moving into a time where it's going to be much more balanced, and it's going to become more so even a divine feminine society. So very, very exciting. So that's kind of what's going on energetically. And if you want to know a little more of the details, you can go to my energy forecast, which is at magnifiedmanifesting.com. You can read it all there. And I'm sure, you know, if you have friends who are into energy and what's going on, I'm sure they would love it as well. So check that out. All right. So let's get right into our gratitude. So as you know, being grateful is so important, because what we are grateful for, we magnify. So when we are grateful for, you know, the abundance in our lives, the relationships, we experience more of those amazing things that we are grateful for. So I'm grateful for the acts of kindness, just acts of kindness. You know, I love seeing acts of kindness that have no attachments, you know, of expectations involved, just pure acts of kindness. I'm so grateful for those, for being able to do them and also be able to witness them. So what are you grateful for? Take one moment right now and affirm out loud what you're grateful for. And while you do that, I will share a few gratitudes. So Mirna in Dubai is grateful for seeing the global changes happen, moving us into unity consciousness, especially in the Middle East. So that's, yeah, that's powerful, Myrna. That's, let me read that again. You're grateful for seeing the global changes happen that are moving us into the unity consciousness. Yes, I completely am grateful for that too. And Mark in Colorado is grateful for his amazing children who have taught him how to be a better person. Yes, children are amazing teachers. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Myrna. And if you have a gratitude to share, please submit it to Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com, and I'll make sure to read them on the air. And now I'm excited to share the questions that are most present on your mind. The Ask Emmanuel segment was created with the intention of focusing primarily on you and your voice. The idea is that when one of us is going through something, usually many of us have either gone through it or are also going through something similar. So this segment gives us the opportunity to come together, to open up to insights and perspectives that can lead to the positive changes that we seek in our lives. And just a side note, these questions that are presented, they're basically presented in the order that I receive them. So if you have a question that you would like for me to chat about and share on the show, please email Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com. All right, so let's get right to our first question. So this one comes from Caitlin in Los Angeles. So Caitlin asks, I have a tendency to always need to be in control of all situations, and that sets me up for great disappointment constantly. How can I move out of this need to control? I know that I am a powerful manifester / creator. What is the difference between this and control? Great question, Caitlin. So let's begin with your first part of your question. So you said you have a tendency to always need to be in control of all situations, and that sets you up for a great disappointment. So the thing is that control usually happens from some type of fear of losing something or fear of the unknown, or some kind of fear is feeding that need to control. For example, let's say we are trying to get a new job. And so we are, you know, trying to control the situation by maybe overcalling the company that we want to work for, or maybe somehow, some way, just really try to find every, whether it's mentally, whether it's actually doing something about it, way to try to be in control. What that does is there's some kind of fear that you're not going to get the job, or, you know, some kind of fear like, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough or whatever. So there's some kind of fear or insecurity or something going on that creates the control. Now, you asked what's the difference between controlling and manifesting. So manifesting / creating. And it's funny because a lot of times, especially in those books and movies and things about the law of attraction, they really, really talk about getting really specific and doing it every day and really, you know, visualizing it. And, you know, those are great. However, sometimes someone who has a tendency to be always in control could take that and try to control that as well, just being like, oh, I got to manifest my dream car, I got to manifest my dream home, whatever. And when it doesn't show up, what happens? Or at least it doesn't show up in the time that they want it to show up. They give up and they get very disappointed. So what I would say is creating and manifesting, we're always doing that. But as the creator, as a conscious creator, we are doing it from a space of knowing and trusting that whatever is in our highest good is going to show up. So that's the big difference between control and creating. So creating, we're creating from a space of non-attachment. We are creating from a space of knowing that whatever we're putting out, you know, the universe will bless us back manyfold, and we're just open and receptive to whatever it is, you know, we are open to it. And when we get very specific over and over and over again, let's say there's a house that someone wants. That's a great thing to do. However, if you're starting to get obsessed about it and get, you know, analytical and start getting mad that you're not manifesting it or getting frustrated that you're not a powerful creator, that's when I would probably stop doing the control or stop putting such effort in that way, because that's almost like counter. It's very resistant. It kind of pushes what we want away. So if you're someone who likes to visualize, use that type of visualization, you know, once a week and let it go. Let the universe take it and you just open yourself up. And I always say when manifesting or creating, I always at the end add, I choose this or something greater. So you open yourself up to infinite possibilities. And while you say, I choose this or something greater, you're also expanding your awareness to see and recognize the blessings that are always happening, because they could show up in a completely different way than you had maybe intended or thought for yourself. It could blow you away in such more amazing ways than you would have if you had control over it. So that's the big difference, is that control is about some kind of underlying fear, and then the creating is about being, knowing and trusting that you are, you know, whatever you create, whatever shows up in your life, you're not attached to it, and it will happen and it will unfold however it needs to. So that's the big difference. And I urge you, all listeners, you know, to be willing to move, to become and remember that you are the creator of your life. You're creating things even that you don't like, and it's just feedback. You say, okay, I don't resonate with this experience, so I'm going to choose something else. So it's not like an all end, oh my goodness, I have to stop here. This is where, you know, this is all that there is for me. No, that's not true. It's just feedback, so you can choose something that you would like to experience. So we're always creating. It's just when we are conscious creators, when we are conscious manifestors, we are doing it from a place of knowing and trust, as opposed to fear. All right. Thank you, Caitlin. What a wonderful question. I love those kind of questions. Thank you so much. And I hope we were able to answer your question. All right. So the next question comes from Lisa in Texas. And Lisa asks, I'm still not clear on what spirituality is. Growing up, I was raised believing that spirituality was religion and had to be serious. What is your perspective on spirituality and how to be more spiritual? Okay, so Lisa, that is an amazing question, and I think a lot of us who are who have, you know, followed the spiritual path have gone through, many of us, not all of us, but many of us have gone through the religious experience, and there's wonderful qualities about that, traditions, etc., but you really understanding that spirituality and religion are really, they don't have anything to do with each other. Spirituality is very freeing, very empowering. Everything is spiritual. You are spiritual. I am spiritual. The tree is spiritual. You know, having a cup of coffee in the morning and just being able to sit down and enjoy it instead of running and going to work, being, you know, giving yourself 5 minutes and just to breathe and be with that coffee or tea, whatever it is that you're drinking, can be spiritual. Playing with your children is spiritual. You know, every single thing can be spiritual. Spiritual doesn't have to be serious. In fact, I've heard an amazing quote that says, enlightenment is not about being serious, but it's more so, and, you know, I'm not saying the exact quote, but just around it, that enlightenment is not about being serious, but look at the word enlightenment. So it's about lightening up. It's about having fun, enjoying life. That's spirituality. Laughing, you know, doing things that make our heart sing, that is spirituality. So when we are clear on what makes our heart sing, truly sing, you know, sometimes we think certain things can be an instant fix, whether it's, you know, a car or whatever, that's fine. However, what really makes your heart sing are usually qualities that we can focus on. So, you know, my heart sings when I am with family, quality of family and friends, the quality of love, the quality of being of service, the quality of being grateful, the quality of being able to be my true, full, authentic self. All those things that make your heart sing, that open you up, whether they happen by going for a nice walk, if you like to go to amusement parks and ride roller coasters, all of that can be a spiritual practice. So when you're having fun with your friends, just by being present and saying, wow, this is making my heart sing, that is spirituality. So I completely would say that spirituality does not have to be serious, like a lot of religious teachings have taught us, and allow it to be more fun and playful and just really, really letting ourselves to be free in that manner. I know the Dalai Lama, every picture that I see, he's just smiling so big from ear to ear. And that to me is just, wow, you know, that embodies what spirituality is about. It's about having fun, not taking ourselves too seriously, enjoying life, and really being present and seeing the miracles and magic in every moment. Like we said, whether you're with your friends, family, you know, traveling the world, seeing things that you always dreamed of, all of that is spirituality. All right, so thank you, Lisa, for that, and I hope we got you some clarity on that. All right, so we have Jared in Australia. So Jared writes, hi, Emmanuel. My partner and I have some relationship issues. I would be grateful if you could share any advice on how someone could have a better relationship with their partner. All right, that's a great question, Jared. And the first thing that when I hear this, when I hear about having a relationship, is to make sure, are you having a good relationship with yourself? Okay, so instead of making it about the other person in the beginning, make it about, am I having a good relationship with myself? Am I treating myself the way that I want the, you know, partner of my highest visions to treat me? That's the first question that I would ask. And if you are, amazing. If you're not, that's a great place to start. So really being able to work on self-love, self-care, self-nurturing, so that you can show up in the relationship from a place of completion and wholeness. So you're no longer looking for that person to fill a void. You are actually contributing, and you already to the relationship, and you're also completely satisfied and content. And when you enter it from that space, you're going to have a much more amazing relationship, because those expectations, those, you know, issues that in general people who enter relationships go in when they feel like they need that person or that relationship to fill something within them that they feel they don't have, then it's going to be a much better situation to go into it having already worked on yourself. The other thing is, once you get into that space, once you have mastered the art of having a great self-relationship, I would say begin with appreciation. So appreciating your partner, because I've heard this quite a few times in a lot of different teachings that I've studied and all over, is that 99% of the time, the reason why relationships have a lot of difficulty and issues is because one person or the other feel unappreciated. So just imagine, when we allow that person to feel appreciated, or let's say we feel unappreciated, so vocalizing, you know, our appreciation for that person and doing it, you know, consistently, not expecting anything in return, but just continuing that. And then eventually they will get it, and they will either appreciate you back, or you will realize that that relationship is probably not for your highest and greatest good if there's no reciprocal appreciation, and also, of course, vocalizing that we, would like to be appreciated. That's also a great thing to do if you are not receiving it. But the first thing I would say is be appreciative. Appreciate your partner. Find out what you really appreciate about them. You know, maybe they made you dinner, or they, do something that rarely goes that usually goes unappreciated, I should say. So really focusing on appreciation is the first step when it comes to the relationship with someone else. Then understanding. Understanding is, to me, I would say, understanding is knowing that every single person has had their own experiences. So they are the only one who has walked in their shoes. So when we understand, we can have that compassion that, you know what, even though I didn't have the same exact experience as them, I can understand where they're coming from, because let's say they were brought up in a certain household or a religious upbringing or whatever it is that, you know, we didn't get to experience. So we don't judge them, we understand them. So let's say, your partner is not someone who likes to go to the opera, okay, but you are. So understanding that that's maybe they never got to go to the opera, or maybe they had an upbringing thinking that opera was boring or whatever it is. So really understanding that it's okay to be different. Everyone has their own perspective of how they've lived. They've all walked in their own shoes. And when we have that perspective, then it can be much more about compromising and less about reacting. Because, you know, sometimes when we want someone to do what we want, then we get, and they don't do it, then we get reactive and get really upset. But in that moment, when we can say, I understand, I totally understand, even if, you know, you haven't gone through it, you understand that they have their own perspective and that they that they had to go through what they went through, and you go through what you want, what you go through, and you can agree to disagree, and that's fine. So appreciation, understanding, and one very, very big one is communication. So really being able to listen is very important. Sometimes we're always, either tuning our partners out, whether it's friendships or relationships, romantic, or we are waiting for or thinking about what we're going to say next. So really listening to our partner is going to be a big healing for both of you in the relationship. And communication, expressing yourself in a positive and healthy way, and in a way that is still in your power, feeling like you can freely say what you want to say. And the thing is, as long as you know, and you know that the intention of what you're saying is coming from a loving place, that's all that is asked of you. If someone reacts in a certain way that is uncomfortable for them, or they feel like you're not being nice, whatever, you know, as long as you have the clear intention that it's coming from a loving, kind, respectful place, you're saying it and delivering it in a positive manner, then that's all that matters. And it's not your responsibility to, to be responsible for how others react to that. But you are responsible for how you do communicate and how you do share what you want to share. So that's another thing, is appreciation, understanding, and communication. And, of course, healthy boundaries, having healthy boundaries and establishing those in the beginning so that, you know, you can continue. And, you know, healthy boundaries usually come about when you enter a relationship from a space of already feeling good, satisfied. You're not entering a relationship because you feel you need that person to fulfill something. That's when the boundaries kind of start getting a little bit, grayish. But true boundaries healthy boundaries kind of form anyway. When you already feel good, they know that you have your own schedule, you do your own thing, but then you guys can also enjoy each other and, you know, certain things you do together, some certain things you don't, and being able to respect and honor those, you know, the ability that we are independent and free, all that stuff. So that goes under boundaries as well. So Jared, that was a great question. Jared in Australia, hopefully we were able to answer some of your questions. And let's see. So we have Maria in Canada. So Maria says that I've always felt like I have a gift of helping others heal, but I always feel drained afterwards. It happens with pretty much everyone I meet. Do you have any advice for me? Oh, Maria. Yes. Well, basically what you're describing is the classic empath, someone who's very sensitive to energy, who can feel energy in a room, you know, whether it feels good or it doesn't feel good. So what I would say is, if you're feeling drained, check to see if you may have a pattern of trying to always fix or help or change somebody in your life. Just see if that's happening, because the truth is nobody needs fixing or helping. There's a part of us that's always perfect and whole. It's about remembering. So when we, as a healer, a true healer, remind someone of who they really are so that they can remember, and then they heal. So they experience that remembrance, and then they get back to their wholeness through that remembrance. And so when we approach people, like you said, you know, you want to help them heal, I'm assuming that it's probably because there's something there of wanting to try to fix something that appears to be broken, or something that may need to, you know, be restored in some way. And when we move out of that perspective and become a healer, or whether someone, you know, we can heal as just being a listener or being present with our friend or family or whatever, just being in that space. Now, if you're feeling drained, usually it's because you're taking on that energy, their energy, and making it your own, using yourself as the kind of beacon to transmute the energy. And they usually probably end up feeling better, and you probably end up feeling worse. So what I would say is that's because we are usually lowering our vibration, kind of feeling sorry for that person, going into their story with them, kind of going along with that whole illusion. So I would recommend, by practicing the art of remembrance, so remembering who they really are, knowing that they are divine, beautiful, spiritual beings having a physical experience, and they are not seeing who they really are right now. There's a part of them that is absolutely perfect, because it comes from the universe. They are the universe. So with that knowledge, we can approach the healing from a space of compassion. That is true compassion, when we can see someone for who they really are, past the story, and we hold that space, and they step into that. So they raise their consciousness, as opposed to us lowering our consciousness. And then it's impossible for us to feel drained or tired afterwards, because we have, basically, all we did was remember who they are and bring them up, and then they are now remembering. So they're going to feel lighter, they're going to feel better, and you're going to feel better too. Instead of lowering your energy, really going deep into the pain, sadness, whatever they're going through, yes, we can acknowledge it, but you don't need to go through it. It's an illusion. And they, for them, it's real at that time, but it's not up to you to also take that on for you. It's not your responsibility. And if you have, you know, patterns of feeling like you're responsible, that's something you may want to look at and release with a, you know, by yourself or by reading books or working with a healer or something. But that's what I would say, is really making sure that you're holding the space of compassion and remembrance, so that they can elevate their vibration. You maintain your high vibration, and nobody gets drained. In fact, everyone gets recharged, both you and them, because you have created this magical space of remembrance. So I hope that helped, Maria in Canada. And I think we have time for one more. So we are going to go to Manny in New York. So Manny writes, I have a really hard time meditating because I'm always analyzing if I'm doing it right or not. Any help would be greatly appreciated. All right, Manny. So the first thing that I would say is it's important to release all preconceived notions or ideas of what meditation should be. I think a lot of people have a belief that meditation is has to look a certain way or be a certain way. But really, all that meditating is asking us to do is to kind of move out of the hustle and bustle and always focusing on, you know, the past or the future and really getting present into the now moment. And some great ways to do that are through meditation. Through breathing and getting into our five senses. So when we have this belief that meditating should be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you know, some people, it's amazing. It works well for them to do it that long. However, some people, you know, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes is perfectly fine. It's about taking each day at a time, taking one step at a time, and getting ourselves to the point where we are able to find a way to get into the now moment. So the first way that I like to meditate is to get into my five senses. So in the day, what I do is I put my alarm clock, and I pick a cool time. You know, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 11, 11, whatever. And when it goes off, it's a reminder to me of how to get into my five senses, which puts me into the present moment. So in that moment, I immediately look around. I really see where I am. What am I seeing? What am I hearing? What fragrances am I smelling? What am I tasting? What am I touching? So really getting into my five senses so that we're not projecting ourselves in the future. We're not living in the past, we're here now. That in itself is a meditation. It can be done during a walk, meditating walk. You can just do it in that moment, right there and then, where you feel like you're getting into your five senses. The other thing is to breathe. Meditation is one of the greatest components to it is breathing. So sometimes we walk through life and we have very shallow breathing, very small. So when we meditate, we can give ourselves permission to take longer, deeper breaths. And also we can use the breath as a focal point to bring us into the present moment. And when we have thoughts coming up, you know, whether it's you're having, oh, what did I eat today, whatever, we don't need to judge that. If it comes up, that's fine. And then we just say, you know, just kind of look at it like it's passing by, like the clouds or something, and then just let it be released in its own time. But it's when we start judging ourselves and becoming really hard on ourselves is when we have a hard time meditating. So the quicker we can be easy on ourselves, the quicker we can kind of just let things go, the quicker we can meditate and really get into that relaxed space. Also, meditation is really about being open to higher insights and higher ideas. You know, a lot of times people say you can't think about anything, but I think that the breathing or getting into the five senses or however, you know, using imagery to bring us into a focal point opens up our higher thinking so that, you know, if we have an insight about a new career or an insight about the next step we should take in our journey, in our life, you know, whatever it is, or I should go to travel to Egypt, whatever. So really meditation It is about thinking, but it's about higher thinking. So allowing those higher thoughts. So if you're having thoughts come in, that's a great thing. You know, if you're getting those ideas, those insights, you know, jot them down, write them down, and then get back into your meditation and just see how that works out. So I'd like to actually do what I like to call is the heart breathing meditation. It's very simple. And the breathing basically is breathing in the count of three, holding one, and then breathing out on the count of three. So let's do that. Let's do a few of those. Let's do like five of those together. So go ahead and take a deep breath in. Good. Hold it. And breathe out. Good. Take a deep breath in. Hold it. And breathe out. Good. Gently take another deep breath in. Counting three, hold it, breathe out. Good. Take another deep breath in. Hold it and breathe out. And last one, take a deep breath in. Hold it and gently release. And that's it, Manny. You don't even have to do anything else. I mean, if you feel inspired to do something else, that's great. However, if you can just stop where you are, if you were at work or if you're, you know, at home, wherever you are, just being able to take that, those five deep breaths and really giving yourself permission to do nothing except for focus on that moment of breathing. Then you open yourself up to new ideas, insights, you become more relaxed. Over time, if you want to expand, do 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, it doesn't, you know, whatever it looks like for you, it's perfect. So meditation doesn't need to look a certain way. So thanks, Manny. And I wanted to thank everyone. I wanted to thank Maria, Jared, Lisa, and Caitlin for all submitting your questions. I know some people hesitate to send questions because they're nervous to hear their, question being read on air. But the thing is, we're all in this together. We're all here supporting each other, lifting each other up. And when we come together, that's when the greatest shifts and miracles occur. You know, so I'd really like to invite you to, if you feel called or if you have a question that's really you'd like another perspective on or something that you'd like to share with others, please email me at Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com. And again, it's Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com. And we are going to actually take a music break. And when we return, we're going to have our fun healing session. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Miracle Cafe. You just heard Deep Forest, and that song was called Forest Hymn. That was a classic. Make sure to check that out. Beautiful, beautiful music. And so let's jump right into today's energy session. So today, let's just do a general overall healing, whether it's emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, mental, whatever it is that we need for our highest good. I'm going to set the intention that this healing provide you with whatever clarity, whatever action, whatever insight, idea that you need to experience more of this general overall wellness in these areas. So what I'd like for you to do is just gently close your eyes, just take a nice deep breath in. Good, and just breathe out. Good, take another deep breath in, filling your whole body with that light, that love, that gratitude. And breathe out. Good, and one more. Take a deep breath in. And breathe out. So do I have your permission to connect with your energy? Good. And just in case this is the first time you're listening to the show, please go to magnifiedmanifesting.com to check out all the specific details of the quantum applied quantum physics that you're receiving. And it's under the core energy therapy. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you for your permission always to receive, you know, a healing, a transformation, whatever. And with your sacred yes, you allow it to go into on a deeper level, allowing for the transformation to happen. All right? And today we're going to just keep it very simple. I'm going to ask each of your highest selves, so you can call it the universal self, the highest source, you know, unconditional love energy of all that is, that goes through the trees, through you, through me, everything. We're going to ask that energy that whatever you need for your highest and greatest good at this time, whether it's in areas of relationships, finances, you know, whatever it is, we're going to ask that you receive a healing for your highest and greatest good. And with your permission, just affirm yes out loud, and we're going to go silent for a few minutes, and you may feel some sensations, whether it's feeling energy pouring in through the top of the crown into the body, your heart space feels open, you feel like you want to laugh, joy, maybe you feel tears want to come out. Maybe you feel really relaxed. Maybe your mind is also wandering or thinking, whatever. So it's all perfect. You may feel heat in the face and hands. It's all good. So do I have your permission to ask your highest selves to facilitate these healings for you? If you want that, say yes. And we're going to go silent for a few minutes. All right, and so it is. So just take a deep breath in, nice and slow through the nose, breathing in that love, that gratitude. Just breathe out that joy, that love, that gratitude back out into the universe. Good. Gently open your eyes. Get back into your body. Take another deep breath in. And gently release. Good. And last one. Take a deep breath in. And release. And so it is. All right, my beautiful friends. So thank you for co-creating another wonderful hour with me today. It has been such a privilege to communicate with you, to receive your support, to receive your questions so that we can share them with the world and heal and prosper and thrive. Thank you guys for making the show a success. Thank you guys for telling all your friends about it. It's been such a pleasure to provide these hours with you. So thank you so much. And if you have any question or if you'd like to learn more about what I do, please check out magnifiedmanifesting.com. I have a lot of goodies there. I have a free song that you can check out and lots of other good little things that you can check out. So have a wonderful rest of your week, sending lots of love, lots of gratitude, and we will connect in 2 weeks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.